Chapter 1. The school bell rang, and a few more students rushed into the classroom, followed by Principal Sherman. The principal of Manchester Middle School was not a small man. If the door frame were any smaller, the principal would have to duck his head and twist his way into the classroom. I stood outside in the hallway as the door closed, but I watched and I heard what was happening through the door's small window. "Attention, everyone, please take your seats," said the principal with authority. He stood at the front of the classroom, hands at his sides, while his eyes scanned the desks and the chairs. "I have an important announcement." And the room went silent. It was apparent that Principal Sherman did not tolerate disrespect. "I have some unfortunate news," he said. "Your teacher, Miss Borrington, needed some extra time away from the academy to help care for a sick family member. In the meantime, I feel very fortunate to have found such a qualified replacement. You know that at Manchester Middle School we have the smartest and most educated teachers. It is my pleasure to introduce you to your substitute, Mr. Revere." As if on cue, I opened the door to the classroom. I walked in. As Principal Sherman prattled on about the importance of giving me their whole attention, I walked over to the chalkboard, I grabbed a piece of chalk, and in the upper left corner I wrote my name, R-U-S-H-R-E-V-E-R-E. Principal Sherman then turned to me and said, "Mr. Revere, the students of Manchester's Honors History class are now in your charge." "I know," he said, turning to the class and then back to me, "that they will give you their utmost respect." While he walked past me on his way to the door, he lowered his head and whispered, "If the boy in the back row with the red baseball cap gives you any trouble, please send him to my office." Without another word, he opened the door and disappeared. As I turned to the students, I noticed a hand in the air from a girl with blonde hair and two perfectly placed pink bows. Before I had a chance to even call on her, she asked, "Your first name is Rush? That's weird. Now, why are you dressed like that?" she said. Now, I could tell that this student was all business. I mean, if there were a pecking order in the class, she'd probably be at the top of the food chain. I looked at my seating chart and I said, "Thank you, Elizabeth. You go by Liz?" She rolled her eyes, nearly grunted, "No. Unlike some people, I have a real name. It's Elizabeth." "Well, it's a lovely name." "If you like four syllables," I said, winking. "If you must know, my real name's Rusty. But when I was your age, my favorite class was history. In fact, I found myself rushing to history class every day that I had it. I'd rush from my home, and I'd rush down the street. I'd rush through the school until I was sitting at my desk, and eventually my teacher started calling me Rush. And it stuck." Two girls leaned over, whispered to each other. One pointed at my pants and giggled. Ah, yes, my clothing. Certainly my colonial shirt with a waistcoat and an outer coat over it, as well as knickers, stockings, a three-cornered hat, was enough to make me look like I was ready to go trick-or-treating. "You're probably wondering about my clothing," I said. "Can anyone guess who I'm dressed as?" A couple of students raised their hands, and I pointed to each one. "George Washington," said the first. "Good guess, but no. However, I am dressed as someone who fought in the same Revolutionary War as George Washington, and they assuredly knew each other." "Are you Thomas Jefferson?" asked another student. "No. However, another good guess. Mr. Jefferson lived during the same time, but I don't think he could ride on a horse fast enough as if he was flying from city to city." And then the boy with the red baseball cap raised his hand. He was smirking at me, the kind of look you give with the intent of hitting the bullseye on a dunking machine. Reluctantly, I pointed to him. "Then you must be Peter Pan," he said. And the students burst out laughing, and now I understood the warning from Principal Sherman. I quickly glanced at the seating chart and replied, "Mr. Thomas White, is it?" "I go by Tommy," he said, "and I think Tinkerbell just flew out the window, so you might want to go catch her." And again the class laughed. I smiled politely. I waited till the room was quiet again. Tommy appeared to be gathering up his history book and his backpack. "Are you planning to go somewhere, Tommy?" I asked. "Aren't you sending me to the principal's office?" he asked matter-of-factly. And this time I laughed. I could see the entire class look confused. Apparently, Mrs. Borington did not tolerate the silly antics from a class clown. Absolutely not. If I did, you'd miss the most exciting history lesson of your life. For the record, history is not exciting, Tommy said. Seriously, I have to stay. Well, I hope you choose to stay, I said. I mean, I love your imagination, Tommy. That's exactly the kind of mind I want all of you to have as we discover history together, discover the stories of the exceptional people who made us who we are today. I mean, I dress like this to help your imaginations. For as long as I can remember, my boyhood idol has been the famous American patriot Paul Revere. He was a silversmith. He took part in the Boston Tea Party. He developed a system of lanterns to warn the Minutemen of a British invasion. And, of course, the event that he's most famous for is his midnight ride in April of 1775. Tommy eased back into his chair. I could tell he wasn't convinced that history was exciting yet, but I could see a hint of curiosity on his face. Imagine that it's midnight, I said. It's very dark outside. You hear the hoot of an owl and perhaps see bats fly through the air under a full moon. You're on a secret mission to ride as fast as you can to warn the colonists that the British are coming. Raise your hands if you're up for that challenge. Several of the students raised their hands, mostly boys, including Tommy. However, I saw one girl in the back of the class who raised her hand too, but then quickly dropped it. I'd noticed this girl earlier. She didn't laugh when the rest of the class laughed. She looked very comfortable sitting in the very last row in the corner. Her dark hair had a blue feather clipped in it. She wore jeans with a hole in one knee, but I could tell it wasn't a fashion statement. I looked at the seating chart, and I noticed the girl's name, Freedom. What an unusual name. Personally, I couldn't help but be a fan. I see we have several brave souls who are ready to ride like Paul Revere. However, in order for you to ride, you're going to need a horse. I paused and nothing happened. This time a little louder. I repeated every word slowly. I said, we're going to need a horse. I glanced at the door. I paused again. Still, nothing happened. Students looked at me, very confused. I sighed. We're supposed to have a special guest join us, but it appears he's running late. Excuse me while I go out, see if he's lost. I walked toward the door. I opened it. I glanced down the hallway. Nothing. I walked down the hall toward the front doors of the school. I passed by the doors to the teacher's bathroom. I paused, considering my options. I heard the toilet flush, and then I heard what sounded like the clomping of horse hooves. I rolled my eyes, and I pushed the door open, and sure enough, there stood my horse, Liberty, admiring himself in the mirror. Liberty! I shouted. Startled, Liberty bumped into one of the bathroom stalls and knocked the door halfway off its hinges. You missed your cue. You missed your entrance. I'm trying to teach a history lesson. And you're an important part of that, I said. You really shouldn't sneak up on large mammals like that, Liberty replied. You see the damage we can cause? Not my fault. I'm the victim here, and I'm pretty sure you're a few minutes early. Besides, it's not like I wear a wristwatch or carry a smartphone, Liberty replied. My apologies. It would be my pleasure if you would care to join me, I said sarcastically as I held open the bathroom door for him. That's more like it, he said, as he walked past me without looking in my direction. Liberty stuck his head out the door, looked both ways. When he didn't see anyone, we walked toward my classroom. Now, remember what we talked about. We don't want to freak out the students the first day by showing them a talking horse, I said. Yes, yes, of course. My lips are sealed, said Liberty, as he pantomimed, zipping his lips with his hoof. Good. Now, I'm going back in. Listen for your cue. I returned to the class, and I was glad to see that no one had left. I apologized for the delay. As I was saying, it was a midnight ride from Charlestown to Lexington when Paul Revere shouted, "The British are coming! The British are coming!" This would not be complete or even possible without a noble and swift horse. Please welcome our special guest, Liberty. Liberty pushed the door open, strutted into the classroom. The students in the front row leaned back, utterly shocked at what they were seeing. "No way," said Tommy. "You actually brought a horse into school? This is so cool." Most of the class was standing by now, watching Liberty prance around the front of the room. From the way Liberty was soaking up the attention, you'd think he was standing in the winner's circle at Kentucky Derby. Several students still looked flabbergasted. They watched Liberty as if he were a mythical unicorn. They crowded closer to him. The girl named Freedom, however, stood five steps back from the rest of the class. Was she afraid? No, not afraid. Unsure? Yeah, that's it. She was looking at the other students, unsure of whether she was welcome to join them in their new discovery. "Don't get too close to us, Freedom," said Elizabeth, who stood at least 2 inches taller than the other girls in the class. "The horse might smell you and run away." Freedom stepped back to her desk and sat down. Class, I assure you, Liberty is very friendly. There's no need to be alarmed. He doesn't bite, and fortunately, he's potty trained." I said, still irritated Liberty was late. Now, Liberty snorted at my last comment, clearly insulted, flicked his tail into my face. His horsehair tickled my nose before I could stop it. I sneezed. It happened so fast, Liberty instinctively said, "Bless you." I froze, wondering if anyone had heard that. Liberty froze, clearly worried if I had heard that. The students froze, clearly trying to determine if they had heard that. Finally, one of the students broke the silence and slowly said, "Did your horse just say, bless you?" "My horse? Talk?" I stammered, looking back and forth between the students and Liberty. Well, yeah. I mean, I've taught him a couple of words, sort of like a talking parrot. Words like, bless you. I mean, what else do you say when someone else sneezes? I said, trying to laugh it off. And then without warning, I sneezed again. Achoo! This time, Liberty said, "Gesundheit!" Again, the students were wide-eyed. They were speechless. This was not going as planned. The horse, as they say, was out of the bag. So I decided to confess, sort of. I sighed again. Look, the truth is that Liberty is an exceptional learner. He's very bright, and of course he loves American history, so as long as you can keep this a secret, I can keep bringing Liberty to our class. Agreed? I said, hoping it was enough. Well, you would have thought I had just asked if each student wanted $1 million. A flurry of responses came rushing back at me. Yes, okay, I'll keep it a secret. I'll do it. I'm in. Well, then it appears that we're unanimous, I replied. Wonderful. I turned to Liberty. Is there anything you'd like to say? And Liberty let out a big, horsey, "Nyeh!" The students looked at each other and then back at me. Tommy was the first to speak and said, "Not very impressive for a talking horse." I turned to Liberty and mumbled, "Seriously, is that the best you can do?" And I turned back to the class and I laughed. "Liberty has quite the sense of humor," I said. Clearing my throat, I looked at Liberty, spread my arm toward the class, and said, "Liberty, the jig's up. Your cover's been blown. Go ahead. Tell the class whatever you'd like." Liberty smiled, and I could only imagine what was about to come out of his mouth. He inhaled deeply, and then in one long breath, he repeated the preamble of the Constitution. "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America," he said, gasping for air. Spontaneously, Liberty was showered with praises. "Awesome! Cool! Sweet! Unbelievable! No way! Wicked! Whoa, dude!" Liberty took a bow or two. "Show off," I said, out of the side of my mouth. Liberty ignored me as the students came to the front of the class and surrounded him, touching and petting his mane and fur. "You're too kind," he said. Tommy started scratching behind Liberty's neck. "Oh, yes," said Liberty, "right there, just a little to the right. Yes, that's it, right behind my left ear. Ah. How did you say that in one breath? Tommy asked. I bet you could do it if you tried, said Liberty. I rolled my eyes. I realized my class was officially horsing around. All right, class, back to your seats, I said. Show and tell is over. Thank you, everyone. Please be seated. The students returned to their seats, and I decided that we'd spend enough time on the introduction and pleasantries. Class, I want you to put away your history books. Of course, books are wonderful, but when I'm teaching, you won't need them. Mr. Revere, Tommy said with his hand in the air, not to be rude, but I'd rather hear Liberty talk. I knew I would love this class, Liberty said, jumping in. You know, horses have been an important part of this country. Oh, no, I thought. Here he goes. And then Liberty continued breathlessly. You could say that we're the backbone of America. We've lived among the Native Americans. We've fought in the greatest battles. We've carried all the early presidents. One of my favorite riders was George Washington. Now, he could ride. He also knew how to brush down a horse. The trick is using long strokes and starting at the top. Thank you, Liberty. I butted in. You've been a wealth of knowledge. But I think we can save the horse brushing lesson for another day. And this time Tommy butted in. Wait, did he say he carried President George Washington? I mean, that was more than 200 years ago. Liberty opened his mouth and then shut it. I think what Liberty was trying to say is that, well, he's referring to my method of teaching, I said quickly, not ready to introduce the concept of a time-traveling horse. That's right, Liberty said, rescuing me. Having Rush Revere as a teacher is like going to the movies. You all like live-action movies, right? No surprise, the students all said yes. I walked over, I pulled down the white projector screen. History is a mystery until it's discovered. Your job is to use your imagination as if you're actually there. And I'm going to help you. The movie that you're about to see will make it appear as if I've gone back in time. And Liberty winked at me. I continued, your job is to try to identify where I'm at, who I'm talking to, what event is happening, and why it's so important. As I was speaking, Liberty walked over to the chalkboard. He grabbed a piece of chalk with his teeth and wrote, where, what, who, why. Together, we're going to discover the truth about history, I said. Are you ready? Students nodded. However, I could tell that Tommy was still not convinced that he wanted to be here. As Liberty walked over to dim the lights, I walked over to the digital film projector and attached a small antenna to receive signals from my smartphone. Then I gave the class one final instruction. The movie will start in just a minute. I'm going to walk Liberty outside for a breath of fresh air, and I'll return shortly. What about the popcorn? Tommy asked. An excellent idea, Tommy, I replied. Tomorrow you'll have fresh buttered popcorn. A quick flurry of cheers came from the students. And I'll bring the red licorice, Liberty said. Not long ago, I was watching one of my favorite movies, Seabiscuit. It was the final race, and Seabiscuit was coming around the last bend, heading for the finish line. I, of course, was on the edge of my seat. I couldn't take my eyes off the screen, so I blindly grabbed for a piece of licorice. But instead of eating it, I accidentally stuffed it up my nose. My horse, I thought, the comedian. I rolled my eyes as the class laughed. I pointed Liberty to the door at the back of the room and walked over to join him. When the movie's over, we'll review what you saw, I said. Liberty and I slipped out into the hallway, and I jumped onto Liberty's saddle. I pulled out my smartphone. I tapped the camera app and switched it to video mode. As soon as Liberty jumped through the time portal, I would tap record and video our adventure, which would be transmitted to the film projector back in the classroom. It's a miracle that it works, but this way the students could see and hear exactly what Liberty and I were experiencing. You have your seasickness pills, Liberty asked. Already took one, I replied. Good, because the last time we were on the Mayflower, you looked like green jello, he said with a laugh. No time to spare, Liberty, let's go. Liberty bounded down the hall and said, rush, rush, rushing to history. A vertical swirling hole of purple and gold began opening in the middle of the hallway. It grew in size as Liberty approached. I grabbed tighter to the horn on Liberty's saddle and shouted, 1620, Holland, the Pilgrims. All I could do now was Hope we landed on dry ground. Right before Liberty jumped through the time portal, I had the feeling that we were being watched. I turned my head, and the last thing I saw was someone's head dart back into the classroom. Someone with long, dark hair and a flash of blue.